WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Natural gas prices vary widely across the country, but not because of a lack of supplies. As a matter of fact, U.S. natural gas production rose to a record amount last year, up 44% from a decade earlier. So what's going on and how might it affect you? Let's bring in Stephanie Yang, energy reporter at the Wall Street Journal, who's been writing and covering this. Stephanie, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks.
So what's going on here, I think, is the question. Is this an infrastructure problem? It sounds like it.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of it comes down to infrastructure. So like you mentioned, we're seeing record levels of U.S. production of natural gas, so much so that, you know, we're exporting it to other countries and becoming a leading exporter in that. And yet we're seeing this phenomenon where certain areas, in particular the New York City area, can't get any more natural gas because, you know, the utilities are saying, well, our pipelines are full. We can't take on new customers.
Yeah, and in the New York City example, there's actually a stoppage of accepting new customers because of this, right?
Right, yeah. So both utilities that service the New York City area, Con Edison and National Grid, said earlier this year that they stopped processing new customer requests, and that's in, you know, Westchester County, just north of New York City, and also in Brooklyn, Queens, and Long Island.
What is this doing to cost? I mentioned in the opening that it's the prices vary widely across the country. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, sure. So it's really interesting. If you look at the national benchmark for U.S. natural gas prices, it's pretty low historically. You know, when it's traded on the futures market, it's mostly below $3 per MMBTU. And something that we mentioned in the story is if you think about, you know, a million British thermal units, that's about enough to dry 50 loads of laundry. But then, you know, if you look at that and contrast the two certain regions, it's very, very different. So, for example, in 2018, that winter, New York City area prices rose as high as, you know, $160 per MMBTU. And then at the same time, earlier this year, you have prices in Washington rising to $200, which is, you know, the highest we've ever seen in the U.S. And then in contrast to that, you have the West Texas area where producers are, you know, having so much natural gas just produced alongside oil that they don't know what to do with it. So they're paying people to take it away. Prices this year dropped to negative $9. And another way of getting rid of it is just burning it off in the night sky.
Yeah, and that seems like a big waste, and especially, you know, people who have short and, well, long memories even, too. When weather gets bad and these prices go up and it's the availability issue is back, bad winter weather, they'd like to have some of that free natural gas, I bet.
Right.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about what's being done to clear some of these supply lines and fix the problem.
So in particular, Con Edison said that it reached an agreement with two of the pipelines that serve that area to increase capacity. The problem there is, you know, pending regulatory approval and going through all of those steps. The earliest that those would come into service is 2023. So for the foreseeable future, you know, we're in the same issue. And then they're also exploring, you know, other ways to get natural gas to customers without pipelines. So, for example, you know, they talk about trucking in supplies. So putting like natural gas on trucks, you know, compressed or liquefied, and driving it to where it needs to go. I think there's also, you know, been discussion or proposals of building facilities to turn waste or compost into natural gas since it releases methane, and that would also take a couple of years to complete. Even with that, you know, it's not solving their problem fully. So a lot of people are trying to figure out, you know, what exactly to do here. And in the Westchester area, people are also experimenting with, you know, other technologies like heat pumps, which transfer heat between the ground and the air, you know, as another alternative if they can't get gas.
In the short and long term, does this mean perhaps the production of natural gas is going to have to be pulled back a little bit?
That's a really good question, particularly, you know, if they're not servicing certain areas of demand. So far, I don't think so. I think people are still, you know, pretty optimistic on the levels of production that, you know, the U.S. Oil and gas industry will reach. So we've been seeing, you know, a couple of years of record, hitting new records, and that's expected to happen again this year.
And what does the export market look like? I know that we export a lot of this. Is that something where we might find new markets and do a little bit more exporting?
Yeah, that's what people are hoping for in the industry. And so there's a lot of money going into building these terminals, mostly on the Gulf Coast, but, you know, in a couple of other areas as well. And I believe we have two active right now in the U.S. That take, you know, natural gas and basically cool it so it turns into a liquid and then load that on tankers and ship it overseas. You know, particularly like in Asia and Europe, generally those prices tend to be higher than what you can get in the U.S. too.
The trucking of natural gas, that's an interesting concept. What would go behind that? And are there any dangers? I'm guessing that there would be. And would there be blowback to that from consumers?
That's also a really good question. You know, the safety questions do come up. Trucking, you know, talking to some of these utilities, trucking compressed natural gas, which, you know, it's been used for a while in the industry. It's just, you know, it's on a pretty small scale. So it's not something that, you know, comes up, you know, frequently, but, you know, when I talk to Con Ed or other utilities about this, they say, you know, it's something that we've used before. The interesting thing is also, you know, liquefied natural gas, that's something that I don't think is as common because the U.S. is, you know, getting more into that export market and having more of these terminals that can change the gas into liquid form.
Stephanie, these are all good problems to have when you have a supply issue like this where it's plentiful. Talk to us about why people are so interested in natural gas, the benefits to the climate, chief among them, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so that's also something that is, you know, been changing. So for a long time, natural gas has been thought of as this, you know, transition fuel where you know, we want to get off burning oil or coal, but we're not quite there with solar and wind. So natural gas seems like, you know, the missing puzzle piece to put, you know, in the middle and get us through that. But, you know, as we've kind of gotten further along in the new renewables process, people are, you know, becoming more critical of natural gas and due to the environmental consequences that fracking and also natural gas usage lead to. So, you know, one of the things that we explored with the story is what you're seeing with when a company wants to build a pipeline. There's a lot more resistance because people are more against using natural gas and they, you know, they want to remove that from the equation, which will push us, you know, faster towards renewables.
Yeah, and then back to the trucking conversation, if you end up putting more trucks on the road because of this, you're sort of negating any gains you made in the other area.
Right. It's interesting there are some trade-offs, you know, with trucking and then also with, you know, the flaring in certain areas where there's too much natural gas and they just have to burn it because obviously that has its own environmental consequences as well. So it's interesting to see how those things kind of get shuffled around.
Yeah. So what would be the advice? And I know you're not in the business of giving advice, but I'm sure investors are listening to this. Is natural gas still a good investment if you want to spend money on it?
So, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not, you know, like you said, in the business of giving advice. I think people are generally in agreement that the futures market, you know, where you see the national price being set, that's pretty much going to stay low. You know, it used to be that natural gas market was a very, very exciting market with really big swings that could, you know, make or break traders and investments, and now it's just gotten very sleepy. You know, there's not a lot of volatility, there's not a lot of movement, and that's also because we have so much supply that overall in the U.S. those risks, you know, about running out of supplies have really come down.
Well, Stephanie, we appreciate you being on with us this morning and sharing your reporting with us. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Stephanie Yang, energy reporter at the Wall Street Journal. We'll link out to her story as well, but you can find it online at WSJ.com.